Episode 2, Ibn al-Haytham, The Muslim Who Explained How We See. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of Ummah Voices Advancement for Allah's Sake series, where we explore the contributions Muslim made to science, mathematics, medicine, education and human civilization. Today we are exploring the remarkable work of Abu Ali al-Hasan ibn al-Haytham, known in many European writings by the Latinized name al-Hazen. Every time we open a camera, look through a lens, wear glasses, use a microscope, or watch an image projected onto a screen, we are benefiting from a field whose foundations were profoundly shaped by Ibn al-Haytham. Born in Basra around the year 965, Ibn al-Haytham became a mathematician, physicist, and scholar of vision. His most influential work was the 7-volume Kitab al-Manazir, or Book of Optics. Before him, an influential theory inherited from some Greek thinkers claimed that vision occurred because rays were emitted from the eyes towards an object. Ibn al-Haytham argued that the process worked in the opposite direction. Light travels from an external source, reflects from objects, and then enters the eye. But he did not merely announce a different opinion, he designed experiments to test it. He examined shadows, reflections, refraction, and the movement of light through small openings. In one experiment, light entered a darkened space through a tiny hole and projected an inverted image onto the opposite surface. This systematically recorded use of the camera obscura, meaning dark room, helped establish principles that would eventually become fundamental to photography and modern cameras. He also used mathematics to explain the straight-line movement of light and studied how the physical eye and the human mind work together in visual perception. His work circulated in Latin within roughly 2 centuries and influenced later European scholars of optics. Yet many popular accounts of scientific history move quickly from ancient Greece to men such as Robert Grosseteste, Roger Bacon, or Isaac Newton. Newton made genuine and extraordinary discoveries concerning light and color. The issue is not whether Newton contributed, it is whether Ibn al-Haytham's much earlier foundation is allowed to disappear. For much of modern European historiography, Grosseteste and Bacon were presented as pioneers of experimental science. Contemporary scholarship has increasingly recognized that Ibn al-Haytham was conducting sophisticated, repeatable experiments generations earlier. Roger Bacon himself drew extensively from Ibn al-Haytham's optical writings. Ibn al-Haytham's life also gives us a lesson in resilience. Biographical accounts relate that after proposing an ambitious engineering project concerning the Nile, he found himself unable to complete what he had promised. Under the dangerous rule of the Fatimid ruler al-Hakim, Ibn al-Haytham was confined for a period in Cairo. It was during this period of restriction that he produced some of his most influential work. A person may look at confinement and see only lost freedom. Ibn al-Haytham found an opportunity to observe, write, and think. That does not mean hardship is easy, nor does Islam tell us to pretend that pain is pleasant. It means that the believer knows no circumstance is beyond the knowledge and decree of Allah. Even when one door closes, there may open another door through which khair can be pursued. His method also reflects an important Islamic quality, intellectual humility. He did not treat respected authorities as infallible. Earlier scholars were studied and appreciated, but their conclusions still had to be examined. Observation had to match assertion. Evidence had to support theory. This is not rebellion against truth. It is submission to truth. A Muslim does not manipulate evidence to protect his reputation, employer, political ideology, or financial investment. He knows that Allah sees what he conceals and what he reveals. Therefore, sincerity in research is part of sincerity before Allah. Allah says, "Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the night and the day, are signs for people of understanding." That is Surah Ali Imran, verse 190. The universe is not meaningless matter. Light is not merely a commercial resource. The eye is not merely a biological machine. They are all part of Allah's creation, containing signs that direct the thoughtful person toward the Creator. Here again, we see the difference between the Islamic Aqidah and a secular materialist worldview. The materialist may study light to gain control over nature. secure intellectual ownership, or dominate a market. The Muslim may also develop technology and earn from his work, but his ultimate purpose is higher. He studies creation as the creation of Allah. He seeks knowledge to serve people, strengthen the ummah, and earn the pleasure of his Lord. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَحَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever follows a path in pursuit of knowledge, Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. Ibn al-Haytham's instruments were simple: candles, openings, dark rooms, and careful observation. But what transformed those materials into advancement was disciplined thought. Our ummah does not lack eyes, it lacks the confidence to look at the world through its own aqidah. Ibn al-Haytham reminds us to observe carefully, question honestly, remain patient through hardship, and seek the truth. Not for fame, but because truth belongs to Allah. Until next time, this has been Ummah Voices, Advancement for Allah's Sake. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.